God's word today, we will turn to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. And John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. God is the God of peace. God is the God of peace. God is the God of peace. He created peace and also tribulation. And from him comes peace. And those who have received and experienced the peace that comes from him, he will bring such souls to his kingdom of peace. Our faith is for I, the soul, to long for the peace that comes from Yeshua Christ and enjoy it. That is our faith. And our faith life, whether in disaster or tribulation, not losing this peace, but enjoying the peace that comes from him. And though in the eyes of others, they may be baffled by regardless, even in such circumstances, it is to enjoy the peace that comes from him and share this gospel of peace. This is what faith life is. Nowadays, we call this time and era we live in a time of fear, especially these days. We are truly in this time of fear. There is anxiety, fears, worries that fill the world. Everywhere we look and hear, it's just worries. We are still in the time of the pandemic, and people are still wearing masks and are restrained, limited by such fear. During the 14th century, there was the Black Death, and a third of the population in Europe died due to this. And this time of the pandemic we live in, it has taken control of many lives, and many are still under this fear. The coronavirus, it is invisible to the naked eye, but we are living with such microscopic things, which is bringing disaster to the world and source of fear. There's also fear within the economy, as we are in a time of economic crisis, and we see that the pandemic has disrupted the supply chains as there is a shortage of goods, and consequently we see the rise in prices due to inflation. And this is what we see going on around us. And many have forecasted that an economic crisis may come and financial difficulty will come after the pandemic. When we turn on the news, even for people who have jobs currently, they are in worry about whether they can keep these jobs, and such type of fears are entering into the families and homes. Even with the war that is going on, we see that all the reasons and sources of anxiety and fear are happening all at once. And it's just unbelievable how all these worries are happening at once. In 1940 with the war, so other than that, there was no war that we could experience, but right in front of our eyes right now, not only through the news, but we see it live streamed of the bombs through social media and YouTube, and we're being exposed to such news. It's readily available to us. And during my time, I witnessed bombings and people dying. So it was very real to me. But most of you have only seen that in movies. So the war that you only saw in the movies, now you can see this through the news in real time. People being bombed, people perishing, and the destruction, collapsing of buildings, it is devastating. And this is happening in Europe. In my time, when there's a conflict in the family, we would say that a war is happening. But this is really war that is occurring. And events like these are not going to come to an end. So on the other side of the sea, the countries are in such close proximity, and that is another reason causing conflicts. And since 1914, between World Wars I and World Wars II, when it ended in 1945, how many people died as a result? Just countless, numerous people have perished. So for those 40 years, approximately 70 million people have died due to the war. And that's just the soldiers who have perished during the war. And we see that war is still happening this day. And what is more shocking is there could be the use of nuclear bombs. Since the bombings in 1945, nuclear weapons have not been used. But this time, there is a possibility that nuclear weapons may be used. And you know, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, nuclear missiles are being created, and we hear news that they are developing more powerful means of attack, testing more of these nuclear devices. And there are plans for more additional launches. So for our Church of Jesus, are we in a safe place? The war is in Europe. Does that mean it is not relevant to us? Yes, it does. The missiles that Putin has possession of, it could be aimed at us. And where would he aim it at? Where is the highest population? Would he shoot it at Nevada or someplace in the desert? No, it will most likely be in New York City. And so at any time, this war could happen and come here. So there was constant war happening in the history of mankind. Initially, it may have seemed like a result of trivial matters, but regardless, wars have occurred. And so we cannot guarantee our safety because it can happen anytime that we are not safe. Have you thought about that? And when I hear that, I say, amen, on the Lord's Day. When we are spiritually filled, lifting up praises to God, and we are all hallelujah, maybe he can shoot the missiles then. And I pray. When you're like, oh my gosh, this church, I have to stay away. Whether it is this church or not, if a missile is launched, it will devastate the whole United States. So rather than being asleep and not realizing what's happening, when would be a good time? When do you think is a good time? When we are spiritually filled and lifting up praises to God, and our soul is so filled and in the highest spiritual state. If we could just die when we are at our spiritual best, wouldn't that be amen? So hit us with your missiles. Are you laughing because this is good news, or is this just so shocking? Anyhow, this is what I think. So God, He created light and darkness, peace and tribulation, prosperity and disaster. So we see here the duality to God. He not only created peace, but also tribulation and peace. So tribulation and disaster. So because it is the will of God, according to His dispensation, He created the universe to contain the fallen angels here. And also He created the Garden of Eden. And as we read, the garden was just so full of abundance and beauty and without lack. There was everything there, but it did not mention there was peace. It was such a beautiful place, so perfect almost, but the Bible does not describe there was peace there. Including the Garden of Eden, the whole universe will be destroyed by fire. It was not meant to contain peace. Do you think in such a place there will be peace? It is a prison cell to contain the devil, so there will be no peace here. But God had in plan to give peace. So He created man, and into man God breathed the breath of life, and the man became a living being, and He gave him the command to not eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or he would surely die. But it seems so tempting, and there may have been some worry as a result of receiving this command. But in the garden was also the devil in the form of the serpent, and he deceived Eve to eat, and she in turn gave it to Adam to eat. So after they ate the fruit, they thought they could be like God. Then they heard the voice of God and they hid in the bushes. And God called Adam, asking him, "Where are you?" And what did Adam say? "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So before he was naked, but it did not bother him. But because of sin that entered him due to the deceit of the devil, what entered him was worry, fear, and anxiety. As a result of their disobedience and sin, they were cast out from the garden. And from then on, the destiny of mankind was determined. In them were worries, anxieties, and fears, even unknown fears that they could not escape. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, "Who will go to hell to be thrown into the fiery brimstone?" It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving." The fearful and unbelieving will burn, will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So it's those who feel fear and those who do not believe. So the unbelievers, but also those who fear, are those who don't believe, and those who don't believe are those who fear. So all these sinners, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, all of them included, will be thrown into the burning sulfur. So throughout the history of mankind, it was filled with fears and worries. And we see people with sicknesses and diseases and also panic disorders. When such disease disorder was first diagnosed, early cases it was strange, but now it's so common. And in Korea, we greet each other with, "Did you sleep well?" and ask, or have you been well? Meaning nothing happened and there were no issues or accidents. So this originates from the nature of man feeling fear and anxiety and worries of what may happen. And that's why you ask, how are you? That everything is okay, right? So God called on a man named Abraham. And he received the promise of God, and his blessing would be that he would live a long life, and that his peace would be brought upon his descendants, and this would become a great blessing to him. Abraham received this blessing from God, and his descendants afterwards would long and desire this peace. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the descendants, the greatest blessing they could receive from God would be peace. And Jacob, he desired the birthright of his brother as a blessing. Then he later fled when his brother sought revenge. And later he heard the voice of God, and he woke up, and what he said was, he made a vow that if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So this is a vow he made. And though he was on the run and he did not know what his future held, because he believed that his ancestors were blessed by God, and if he received such blessings as well and returned safely to his father's homeland, this is what he promised. So he was able to return to his father's land, and in the meantime, he bore children and became a very large family, and he had a lot of livestock. And though he longed to go back to his father's land, there was always a part of him that was in fear, for there would be his brother, and because he knew his brother was out to kill him. And he feared and was worried, and then on his way, he got news his brother was coming with 400 men. 400 men are with him, and he's coming to meet you. So he guessed that his brother was out to kill him, and so he was so afraid. And there was a river, and right before the river, he sent all his family and sent over all his possessions over. And he gave it up, for if God saves him, it will still be his, but if he dies, then it wouldn't matter. So he gave up this possession, for there was a possibility that he could die. So he started to pray very desperately and earnestly, and it's described in the Bible that he struggled, he wrestled with an angel, and he prayed so earnestly, and he was asked what his name was. What is your name? And he replied, Jacob, which means to grasp. It means to grasp. That he wrestled and struggled, and he was to grasp. But now his name was to be changed. It says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. So Jacob was named Israel, and that is how the name Israel, the nation of Israel, came about, which means to wrestle with God, struggle with God, that God allowed and gave him possession, the right to possess, and whatever he asked in his name, he would be able to receive it. And this was a promise and right he received. Then he returned back to his father's land, and his brother didn't kill him, but rather they reconciled, and there was peace. So he returned to his father's land in peace. And Jacob, he believed in the God of his ancestors, who received the blessing of returning safely back to the father's house. And therefore, he was able to return back in peace. Also, there was a man named Moses who was called to lead the people out of Egypt. And he was initially hesitant, but he was told that God would be with him. And he led the people out. And they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And imagine how scared they must have been and what fear beheld them. But they crossed the Red Sea and entered the desert. But it was not their final destination. Rather, it was just a place they stopped by before entering the land flowing with milk and honey. So they had to pass this place before entering there. In the wilderness, it was so difficult. It was dry, and it was not a place they could survive. And so they feared, but they received the promise that they would arrive at the promised land, the land promised to their ancestors. And with such hope, they were able to continue. And what brought upon more fear, however, was the law. The law, there were 613 points to the law, and if they broke even one, they were to be punished. This law is what sustained the relationship with God and man and the people. But to maintain, to keep such law was very hard. And one of the laws was keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath they were to keep. So they were commanded to keep the Sabbath, or else they would be put to death. So why did they have to keep the Sabbath? Because Jehovah God, the Creator God, for 6 days he did the work of creation. And on the seventh day, in peace, he rested. So just like how God rested in peace, they were to also rest in peace on the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath, they were to enjoy this peace and not labor or work. And if they rested, then they would enjoy this peace. But then somehow on that day, they just felt this desire to work. But if they did so, then they would be put to death. So when they spoke of the law, they feared the law, and they were under the spirit of slavery, the bondage to fear, as it described in the Bible. So they were in fear and trembling. The name of Jehovah was the name of the God whom they feared. The name of God they were to fear. What they were also commanded, he said, do not seek a treaty of friendship with the Gentiles, their neighbors. To never seek their peace or prosperity. So they were not to intermix with the neighboring people or associate with Gentiles or have peace with them. or else they would be cursed. So basically, they were to fight and battle their neighbors. We said God is the God of peace. But to the Israelites, they were to fight and go to war with the Gentiles. So who is God? God is the one who created peace and also tribulation. If God is the God of peace, why were they to go into war with their neighbors and consider them their enemies? And why does, people may ask, why does God take sides? And many people who have this question say they cannot believe in such God. And they close the Bible. But we have to believe in the Bible in its entirety to understand the Bible in its entirety and in the will of God so that we can follow his plan. And there was Rahab who lived in Jericho. And when the spies came, she realized the God whom they believed is the true God. That the Lord has given them this land. And so she took on the risk to help these spies. And though she was worried and afraid, she believed the God who sent such spies was the true God. And because she did this work, she and her family were saved and delivered. Do you remember reading this in the Bible? That her family was slaves? That she tied the scarlet cord in the window and her family was saved. Hallelujah. So we see through such stories of such people of faith, even taking on the risk and danger by taking on the side of God and the people sent by God and believing in God, a result was them being saved. And as they were instructed, they built the temple of Jerusalem. So who built the temple of Jerusalem? So David, he wanted to build. He was a very notable figure who loved God so dearly, and God favored him. And David, he collected all the finest materials to build the temple, but God did not allow him. And why not? Because he shed too much blood through wars. So what is the opposite of war? Peace. So war and peace, they are opposites. How can a man who went to war and shed so much blood build a temple of peace? So rather, his son Solomon was to build the temple, for he was a man of peace. Solomon means man of peace. We see that during the time of Solomon's life, there were no wars. Perhaps of all the kings of the world, he was the opposite of his father, whose whole life was filled with battles and wars and enemies. And David, he expanded his territory greatly due to the victories in wars. And Solomon lived in a time of peace. And with all the materials his father collected, he built the Temple of Jerusalem, also called the Temple of Solomon. So what does Jerusalem mean? Jerusalem, it means the promised peace, the prepared peace. And we say Jehovah Jireh, which Jehovah Jireh in Genesis 18, it means the Jehovah is here. God will provide. The King of Peace is here. In the very place his promise was fulfilled was the Temple of Jerusalem. So there, it must only be peace. You understand? So Solomon, the man of peace, was allowed to build the temple, and there must always be peace there. However, very ironically, while the Temple of Jerusalem had this significance and meaning, we see in the history of mankind, the place that had the most wars and battles was this very place, Jerusalem. So it is very ironic. Some people say this is all wrong, but now we come to the appearance of Jesus and we can understand. So they built the Temple of Jerusalem, and we see that the 12 tribes, they were divided. There was the north and south in conflict, and also and all the neighboring nations like Persia included. So there were all constant battles and wars going on. So these neighboring countries and nations are just in constant conflict, and the history of the world is of wars, and the history of the Bible is of wars as well. But God is a God of peace, and the reason we have this is for Him to give peace to our spirit. So Israel has such history. They lost their sovereignty, and the people were taken captive by neighboring countries. And among the Israelites, many were taken, but the few who were left, they still held on to the hope as they looked towards the Temple of Jerusalem, asking God and having hope in the God of peace, so that their nation would restore peace once again. However, before such temple, who appeared? Yeshua. And He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Because there was the temple, they had this hope that their nation would one day be restored, and that they'd one day be able to enjoy this peace, and were waiting for that day to come. It was Jerusalem and the temple that reminded them of this. And so they worshiped there, served there. But Jesus said to destroy this temple. And so to them, this was a blasphemous statement and infuriated them, for they served Jehovah God at this temple. And the kingdom of David, they wanted to restore and were waiting. But Jesus said to destroy it, and they were very shocked and angry and wanted to get rid of Jesus. They considered Jesus as no help to their people nor the restoration of their nation. And rather, He might be the cause of genocide for their people. But Jesus did not say to just destroy it, but that He would raise it again. The Temple of Jerusalem was made by human hands, from the dust, made by man. So therefore, the eternal peace of God cannot be there. God is spirit and eternal. Therefore, His peace must also be eternal. But the temple was built from dust by man, which is finite and temporary and can easily be broken at any time. But Yeshua had come not for the peace of the flesh, but He came to give eternal peace for the spirit. Yeshua, who is He? He is the Word in the beginning. Who was the Word? The Word was God. Who is God? God is the God of peace. So the Word came in the flesh. So the God of peace came as man. The God of peace. What kind of peace? This is an eternal peace. Eternal peace. So regardless of circumstance and condition, it is unshakable, it is unbreakable, eternal peace. And such God of peace came as man and was born like man. And as he came into this world, many were out to get rid of him and destroy and kill him. So the God of peace came. And why did this all occur? Yes, because he came to realize all these events had to come. The fear and anxiety had to occur so they could realize what true peace is. Why did God create darkness? So the light can be revealed, to be shown. Why did God create tribulation? So we can realize what peace is. When we approach the Bible with such lens or perspective, we see how the Bible is revealed so perfectly. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." For man, the peace that he gives, if the Spirit receives it, no one can take or break it. That not the flesh, but if the Spirit receives it, no one can break this peace. Amen, hallelujah. And then he continues to explain, we see in John chapter 16, verse 28. "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." And Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech." So he says, "I came from the Father and now I'm leaving to go back to the Father." So he says, "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." So he, in the beginning, was the Word and is God of peace. And he came to this world as man, as the Son of Man. So like man, he could feel pain and experience death. And into such limited condition he came. But he said he came from the Father, entered the world, but he is going to leave the world to return to the Father. So he came from God, entered the world, and he's going to leave the world to return to the Father. So why did he come and why is he going to leave? Did he come as a tourist? Why did he come and leave? And then we go to John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. "That do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." So he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in the God of peace, then trust in me. For he is the God of peace. As he is the one who came from him, the Prince of Peace. At that time, they did not know, but this was his explanation. So he entered the world as he had work to do. And afterward, he will leave this world and go back to the Father, and there he would prepare many rooms. So what did he do while he was here on earth? He gave peace, and he gave peace for the Spirit. And at that time, the people did not understand. There was also another hint in John chapter 16, verse 32, that a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. He is at peace at all times, for the Father is with him. And then continues, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, for he gave them peace, and they were to enjoy and experience this peace. So, he came to this world and left this world, and the climax was his death on the cross. His death on the cross. He came as the Son of Man and died on the cross and returned back to the Father. And there he prepared many rooms for us. So when he comes back, he will take us there. But until he comes back, we are to take heart. For he overcame this world and he gave us peace. During his public ministry, he healed many sick and gave peace. The reason he healed is so that they could be given peace. He was captured and he was basically lynched. He was spat on and slapped. He was flogged, persecuted, basically lynched. He was beaten, but there was not a time he was in fear. But rather boldly and at peace, he died on the cross. And when he did, he said, "It is finished." Why was he able to say this? His flesh, his body. Through his piercing and wounds, we have gained peace. So he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So his flesh was pierced, and the sins of mankind were transferred onto his body. And peace, he was crushed, and by his punishment, peace was brought upon us. So by his actions and wounds, we have been forgiven and have received peace. And all of the sins were transferred onto his body, and all the fears and worries, the anxieties we were to experience, he took it all. Hallelujah. So all the fear and worries, the anxieties that was inherited from our ancestor Adam, those who receive the blood and peace of Jesus Christ in their spirit can enjoy such peace. Amen. Through his death, he paid the price of our sins, and he brought an end to this tribulation for the spirit. And into the spirit, peace enters. Say amen if you have the blood of Jesus in you. And also, with his death, he condemned the devil, who is the source of all fear. And as he died, he committed his spirit to the Father. And therefore, peacefully, he returned to the Father's house. Peacefully, he returned to the Father's house. Abraham and Jacob were able to peacefully return to their father's land. And like that, Jesus was able to return to the Father's house in peace. So Yeshua completed this work and he died. In 3 days, he resurrected. After his resurrection, when he met his disciples, the first thing he said, what was it? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. He repeated, peace be with you. And he even breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So for peace to be with them, to show as an imagery, a visualization of peace, he brought with them. So he ascended to heaven and is called the Lamb of God who sits on the throne. So Lamb of God who bears the marks of being slain, the marks of tribulation. So what is the throne? It is where the king sits. So on the throne, the Lamb of God on the throne is where there is peace and tribulation. The peace and tribulation that God created in the beginning, these two opposite characteristics are embodied here embodied here where the Lamb of God is enthroned. So Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and in their worry and fear, they were waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And 10 days had passed, and many people had left. And the more worried they likely became. Initially, there were 500 people, but 380 of them left. Likely, it was a time of worry and fear. Even amongst our church members, if a fourth of us left for fear of death, then we would be afraid. And in the midst of this fear, until the very end, they believed and held on to the promise that Jesus Christ would give peace, and that no one would take away this peace from them. They remembered this and believed in this, and they waited and received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! So how joyful they must have been. How happy they must have been. So they went out to the world and they started to share this news. So they were just so bold. And for in them was this peace, and no one can take away this peace from them. Amen. Now the church was established in all Judea and Samaria. Peace was there, and by comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the support of the Holy Spirit, the disciples increased in number. Hallelujah. Say amen if you've received the Holy Spirit. If you have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, say amen. As the Holy Spirit is with you, there should be no more worries, fears, and anxieties. If you are filled with worry, fear, and anxiety that's about to come, and you're unable to brush it away, and you're afraid of that, any of you here? The church. Why do we have to come to church on the Lord's Day? Why do I, the soul, have to come on the Lord's Day? The past week, we lived out in the world, and all the things we have seen and heard, they do not give us peace, but rather they take away peace from all these methods and ways. Through the internet, through YouTube, what we see and what we hear, we are losing peace. There is so much information on the internet, like regarding health and economics, and it is inundated with information. Isn't that right? Do you watch the internet and the news? Don't say you don't. You search every day regarding health. And if you see something, now that brings upon fear. So you're perfectly fine, but you're worried about something and you look up the symptoms and it tells you you have a disease or a sickness. So let's say there are bubbles when you urinate. That happens when someone drinks alcohol and there's bubbles. But when you search on the internet, it says it's something with the kidneys, a kidney failure or a problem with your organs. And so you have to undergo surgery. So if you look up the symptoms and diagnose yourself with kidney disease or the like, then you are just in despair that you have kidney disease. The information you read on the internet, you diagnose yourself and it's just despair. So when you research such information, you bring upon yourself these fears and worries. And basically, you are digging your own grave. So cut it off. I decided not to do it either. It is best not to look at such information, but rather to look at the Bible. Amen. So we have some YouTube experts at our church. Maybe these people look at YouTube every day. But is it helpful? Yes, it may be helpful to some extent. But essentially, this peace that Jesus has given us into our spirit, that the Father God would even send his Son to die on the cross to bear all this fear and anxiety and worry and sin onto his body. If by our own actions we break it, then it is very foolish of us. My peace, I will protect. The peace that he has given us is inside our spirit. That it's inside my spirit, his peace, even in poverty and sickness and in danger, sword or death, we do not fear. This is the peace we have received. Amen. Let this peace not be taken by the things of this world. The church is the hall of peace, the house of peace, where nowhere else you can find such peace. All the peace that was depleted from you while out in the world by the things you have seen and heard, all the peace that you have lost, on the Lord's day you gather and fill yourself back up with his peace. Amen. Amen. Our whole program and service on the Lord's Day, from the beginning to end, we slowly start to fill ourselves up with peace and peace. So as we praise, we are overflowing with peace and we go back out to the world to share it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The peace in our spirit. The peace in our spirit. So all the fleshly things and the worldly things are out to destroy us, to put us to death. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So all fleshly and worldly things and related thoughts in our mind, let us get rid of and cut it off in the name of Jesus. Also, a Christian. So first is to get rid of fleshly, worldly thoughts. And second is to love your brothers and sisters in peace and faith. Your brothers. To fill yourself up with this peace. And someone with such peace and faith loves his brothers. So through your language and life and acts of service and dedication, it is to share this peace with others, with your brothers. And you try to alleviate and get rid of the worries and anxieties your brothers may be feeling. And this is what the Christian life is. And if you've truly experienced and enjoyed this peace, then you ought to share it with others. This peace that we have, we ought to share. We are to become ambassadors of peace, messengers of peace, so you and your family can be saved. And you go out and say, believe in Jesus. They may ask if you'll give them money or food, but you say, believe in Jesus. Yes, you can give financial help. But before that, if you believe in Jesus, then the result of that is that your spirit has peace. So there are families here who may have troublesome children, but if you're a household that believes in Jesus, then your spirit has peace. So if you believe in Jesus, your spirit has peace. So it's different from the heart. They say the heart of woman is like a reed swaying in the wind. But this peace he has given us into our spirit is one that cannot be shaken or taken, and let us all be able to enjoy this peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Why can we have peace as Christians? how can we have this peace? It is because we are not afraid of death. So be honest and raise your hand if you're afraid of death. I myself can say I am not afraid of death. I pray daily so that I don't die unfaithfully, so that I talk of faith and I want to die in style. But I am not afraid of dying. So there are people with worries of getting married or rearing their children, sending them off to school. But if we truly have this peace in our spirit, then we are not to be afraid of death. And why not? Because we are all going to die anyways. It's just a matter of time. Isn't that right? We're not going to die because we believe in Jesus. Everyone will die. I'm going to die. I don't know when, but I am going to die one day. That's just a natural principle. But we are not afraid to die because after we die, our flesh returns to death, but I, the soul, returns to the Father's house to live with Him forever. Amen. So even if today I have nothing to say, but Father, Father, in my spirit, I have the blood of Jesus, so receive me. Even if you haven't lived such a holy or sanctified life and didn't leave fruit or disciples, or bear fruit, but I, the soul, am certain that I have the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If my spirit leaves this day, receive my spirit. Amen. Amen. The reason we are still alive is so that we can bear fruit and take care of the things we need to take care of and cut off the wickedness and all sins. That is why we are given this time. But we are certain we have the blood of Jesus in us. So receive my spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us receive, enjoy this peace forever and ever. Hallelujah. Let us pray.